going on, guys? And welcome to the Student Leadership Podcast. We are coming at you live. It's part two time.
Part two.
Whoa.
Did you like part one?
I did.
What was part one? Give us a refresher.
Well, hold on. If you don't know what we're talking about, then you need to go back and you need to listen to part one, because we started a podcast series that went long in a good way. We're we got to slice and dice this. We're talking a lot about how to prepare for your future. Both Caleb shared, they fought for a few moments. No, I'm just kidding. And then also Colin, I remember Colin shared about Caleb Leak, for those of you who couldn't see, was pointing at Colin like, don't forget. I remember Colin. Colin was cooking. I would never forget him. We really wanted to just give you guys an episode and just five pieces of advice. Well, I guess it was three and then two pieces of advice for you on how to prepare for your future and not get so caught in the whirlwind of life that you kind of forget to take inventory and then take a step of faith in whatever it is that God is calling you to. So we're kicking off part two. Again, if you didn't listen to part one, please go back.
Because there was some good stuff.
Colin was
talking about choose your direction more so than your destination.
Come on,
the alliteration going on there.
Yeah,
Caleb was talking.
He ends with two P's too.
Right, yeah, purpose and
presence.
Presence, yeah.
Yes, that was killing great. It is and on
then
fire.
Caleb Leak was talking about jump and then build your wings.
Yeah, got some wings.
Right, and then Caleb Holt was like, wings. No, don't jump at all. No, it wasn't don't jump at all. It was like make wise decisions, be a good steward.
Don't jump at all. Never jump.
No, it was really hop, skip, and then jump.
Yeah. That's the combination.
Think before you jump.
Yes. And it was really, really great. So we've got two more for you today. Aaron Holt, I'd love if you could start us off. Talk to us about what you would say to a student about preparing for the future.
Okay. Here's my little preachy phrase.
Your little ism.
Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. So really we're talking about how to manage your temptations, right? Because spiritually, you know, understanding like my impulses, my desires, right? I want that and I want that now, but being wise enough to ask yourself the question, if I reward myself with whatever that is in front of me that I want now, is it actually going to put me in a situation where I end up forfeiting? The consequences are I potentially forfeit the thing in life that I want the most.
Yeah.
Right. You could proof text this in the Old Testament with the story of Jacob and Esau, right? Where it is, you know, Esau wants, you know, the stew, the bean stew the most, right? He wants it right now. So he gives up what he wants most, which in his culture was the birthright, right? And the inheritance that came with being like the firstborn son. But I think that it's natural as a student, you're a junior high student, high school student, college student, right? Young adult. It's really natural for you to have these moments in life where something presents itself to you and you look at that and you're like, I want it and I want that now.
Right.
And so be wise enough, like whatever you got to do practically, whether you got to walk away from a situation for a moment, whether you got to like, just like count to 10, or whether you got to be like, give myself a day to think about this, but like be wise enough to take some time and ask yourself, if I reward myself now with this, is it potentially going to allow me to, or make me forfeit the thing that I want the most in my future, right? So one more kind of verse in Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And I think one of the best practical interpretations of that I heard was a pastor that was explaining that when you and I truly possess biblical joy, like this sense of contentment, right, that is only found in Christ, when we really present that, joy then becomes our first line of defense against any and all temptation in our life.
Oh, wow. I've never thought of it that way.
Right? No, I didn't either. That's why it kind of struck me.
Really,
and he went on to explain that when temptation presents itself, temptation is appealing to our emotions, and it's saying to us, I have something that's better than what you currently have. And so you need me. So you should give me, right? You should come to me. Where if you possess the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength, because the joy of the Lord helps you stay centered, and you say to yourself, what I already possess is greater than anything you could tempt me with. Yeah. And so it becomes your strength against temptation in that way. Right?
Mm.
So
wow.
That's so good. I think something that's really powerful that everyone has to wrestle with is it is very hard, Aaron, to your point, though, it is hard to feel like when you're that when you're not doing something, when you're not participating in things that other people are doing, or just things that you're thinking about, it's hard to not feel like you're missing out.
Right.
And I feel like that fear, I guess FOMO,
And it's probably harder now for this generation than in the past because of social media and the, you know, that like I get to see everyone else's highlight reel. And so it makes my life feel terrible.
Or like, how do you just, like think about the thing that you actually want to do and then say, I guess I'm not going to do it. But then you see everyone else doing it and you do, like, they're fine. You know, are they so bad? I don't know if you can always see the what you want in the future so clearly to feel like, is this, am I really sacrificing something in the future for this right now?
Yeah.
Everyone else is doing it and they seem just fine.
Well, it's hard to see the cost.
Yes.
Like you're like, at this moment, it doesn't feel like it's costing me anything. And then, down the line, it's like, oh my goodness, wait, I did pay the price. It's just, do I want to pay the price now or am I going to pay the price later? Like, right. I can pay the price now and wait and hold myself off, or I can pay the price later because I'm being compulsive and giving in.
So let's illustrate it by let's go back to something that we talked about in episode one of this topic, right? Caleb Holt, you talked about like, don't go get yourself in like $100,000 of student loan debt, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like a classic example of, what do I want right now? I want college. I want the college experience.
I
want
to get away from home. School.
I want to go to the right school, right? I love that. My friends are, right? So I want this now. Well, what do I want most? Well, you know, maybe what you want most is, hey, I want to live a life where I have flexibility because I'm not in debt. I can do or go wherever I want to, you know, or I want to live a life where I graduate from college and I don't have to work 3 or 4 jobs in order to like deal with this debt load or whatnot. Or I want to be able to go to school and get an education. And maybe I, you know, I want to go like be a missionary or do something that's going to require like tons of flexibility. Okay. So there's an example of like, yeah, but you wanted the college life, you know, campus dorm life experience.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that were, okay, now you're going to have to spend the next 10 years of your life.
You're literally paying the price later.
You're going to pay the price later, right? Like the same thing is true when you deal with like relationships as a young person. You can make a lot of mistakes in dating relationships as a teenager, as a college student. You can make a lot of mistakes where it's like you cross lines, you cross boundaries, you give in to temptations. And the consequences of that could very much be like, man, now I'm paying the price later 100%. Because I've got so much emotional baggage. I got so many difficult things that I'm trying to work through. And the consequences of that are now I don't have the level of relationship that I want in a marriage down the road somewhere. 100%.
I mean, I work on a college campus and you know, people are not waiting for marriage there. And I've met people that like they have just trained themselves to be kind of sexual at all times. And so it's like when they want to settle down and they like, all right, I'm ready. They have a hard time with those restrictions. And I've literally talked to dudes and girls that are like, I'm afraid I'm going to cheat on this person or a person I want to be with because I'm just so used to being so promiscuous. I mean, it's like you are absolutely making decisions that, what do you want most in life?
I just had this.
And what do you want now?
I just had a similar conversation with one of our young adult students at APLA, Allison Park Leadership Academy. And,
got a plug.
Shameless plug, right?
Someone's got to do it.
But it was kind of the idea of like, he said to me, yeah, I kind of thought that once I got married, it would automatically take care of my porn issue. Right. And then it was like, hey, surprise. It didn't work that way. So again, another example of like, what do you want most? If you're a young person and you're saying, one of the things I want most is I want to have an awesome marriage. I want to have a marriage that's maybe as good, if not possibly even better than your parents' marriage. Then you get there by making decisions now about the kind of person that you're going to be, as opposed to giving into every temptation and anything that you feel the urge for in the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a sacrifice.
Like, oh, it's 100%
sacrifice. There's a pressure from culture.
But it's what do you want more?
I've talked to so many students who are like, man, I just haven't had my first kiss yet. And they feel the pressure from their friends to do that. But again,
just to like go get a rando smooch.
Usually they're dating someone. Well, it's not just like,
now that you say it like that, like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, also when that's you reframe it, you're a little like,
no.
What are we doing?
Reframing is huge, though. We got to come back to that. Finish your thought.
But either it's okay. Again, like, are you gonna deal with your friends maybe being stupid right now and them you watch them suffer the consequence later, or are you going to join in and then join their consequences later? It's like, take it now, take the hard stuff now, and then get the reap the benefits later.
Yes.
Or vice versa. Get the instant gratification you can get right now, and then it's going to not be great later.
Okay, but you just said something, Jordan, that you got to unpack. Reframe it. That's probably one of the most practical things that we could do in order to resist the temptation and the impulse now, and to keep our eyes on the target of what we want in the future. What is that? What did that look like for you as a young person? Or just unpack it?
Yeah, I mean, when you reframe it, it's like it feels. Sorry, that was a long. Sorry,
that noise made me laugh.
Kill what? all the wind is knocked out.
Is that
out
a part of reframing? You make
that's okay. Processing noise.
Yeah, he was processing reframing. Well, okay, reframing means that you are just putting it in a different light, and you. It's easier when you're reframing to take emotions out, because in the moment,
true. Yeah.
Smooching that girl feels like the most, but you know, you feel like, oh my gosh, this is so big. Everyone's going to college. I can't miss out. Okay, wait. Caleb Holt made you reframe. And he's like, dog, do you want to work 4 jobs 7 years from now? It's like, put yourself in your shoes then. You're like, okay, maybe Duke isn't as big of a deal as, you know, going to community college for 2 years. And then, but like when we're just living in the now, things feel strong and big and large. You even talked about bowl of stew felt like as important as a birthright.
All that would have taken would Esau just like step back for a moment and be like, I can go eat a Hot Pocket instead. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't, you know, like.
Yeah, you're hungry. Yeah. But that.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah. How stupid. I mean, that story seems so foolish when you think about it. You're like, why would you trade your birthright and 2/3 of your inheritance? And that's, you know, culturally, that's what it would have been for him. Why would you trade then for a bowl of stew? Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a whole other host of theological things that are happening there beyond just this moment of temptation. But reframing it is huge to be able to be like, it's a bowl of beans, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in my friend group have been going through this book called Live No Lies, and it talks a lot about saying no to your flesh. And we talked about this in the recent episode a little bit ago, but that story especially reminds me of like sometimes the our fleshly desires, things that aren't necessarily even bad or sinful, like Esau just wanting a bowl of soup. Sometimes our flesh speaks so loud.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. We feel like it's impossible to say no. Yeah. And the more you say yes to your flesh and give into it, right? Sinful things, things that are temptation, things that maybe aren't sinful but just aren't the best for you. The more you give in to saying yes to those things, what you're doing is you're making a pattern for yourself of saying, yeah, when I want something, I just do it. Yep. Or I just get it. And that's
instant gratification.
That pattern and that behavior becomes harder and harder and harder to say no to later in life the more you've been doing it. So if you can be smart as a student now and realize like, oh, this thing that I want right now isn't necessarily good for me. This is my flesh talking. If you can begin to practice saying no to that now, you're setting yourself up for when those bigger decisions do happen, mm-hmm. right? So like if you can say for an example, if you can say no to yourself, like, all right, I need to do my homework, but I really want to play video games.
Yes.
Right. My flesh is saying play video games, but I know I need to do homework. If you can say no to your flesh in that moment and practice that, it sounds silly, but like, okay, once you're at the party and someone's offering you a drink
100%
or offering you weed.
Yeah.
Because you've been saying no to your flesh, you're like, it's actually easier to say no to those things. 100%
is.
Yeah. I know it seems disconnected. It doesn't seem like the same thing, but it is.
It's about patterns.
The root spiritually is the exact same place.
It's about patterns. And once you begin to master those patterns and build up your discipline and your muscle, so to speak, it helps you.
Practicing self-denial is so good. Can I share a really stupid story?
Please.
But it felt really significant.
Only if
me.
It's really stupid.
Oh, I love this story.
So,
yes.
Yeah, Jordan knows this story. So at our church, we had this event where there was a bunch of candy and there was all these nerds ropes left over.
Wait, how recent was this?
My weakness is very nerds recent. Ropes. Don't worry, it wasn't your candy. It was Sean's candy.
Did you steal them from the kids' ministry?
Yeah, but anyways,
have a budget conversation after this.
We can talk about it later.
No, so it was late at night. I'd already had one nerd's rope that day, and I go to the kitchen and amazing. I see these. All right, like,
so this is your weakness.
Ropes.
This is your great weakness.
I
in
love
life.
Nerd's ropes.
Okay.
And so I walk up and I grab a nerd's rope, and I actually think to myself, like, if I can't say no to myself here, like, When can I ever say no to
if
myself?
I can't say no to myself stealing candy from church.
Literally, from a baby.
But like, legit, I know this sounds so silly. It was such a spiritually impactful moment for me. Like, I'm not even kind of joking. Like, to put this dirt rope down and say no. Yes. It actually made me feel like I have control over my desires and what I want right now and in the immediate. And even if it's a stupid little nerd's rope, like, I'm going to say no and tell myself no because I don't need this right now.
And you already had one.
Even though, dude, I was like, that looks insanely good. Like, I could smash this whole box of freaking nerd ropes.
Okay, so here's how it works. Does it work this way for you, Caleb? Because for me, when I'm in one of those situations, if I don't choose discipline right away, my mind starts to make a compelling argument for why I deserve, like, do you know how many hours I've worked a day and I've been a youth pastor and I've been sleeping overnight at church
because it's one nerd rope. I'll just take a bite. If I just take a little nibble, it's fine. Yeah. Then 10 nerd ropes in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to win fast.
But where you have to reframe. Yeah. Yes. Sometimes you can win fast and sometimes you got to give yourself the time to be like, let me just think through this for a second and see the other.
All right. Here's a cheat code to what you're talking about. Say the way you said it before. Say it again.
I don't even know what I just said.
No. Your whole pitch.
Oh, my whole thing. Don't give up what you want most for what you want now.
Okay. What you want most, what you want now. We're talking about it's hard. It's emotional. Caleb referenced Live No Lies. One of my favorite quotes from that is that sometimes your strongest desires are not your deepest desires. It's another way to put yes, I really want the nerd's rope, but I also want other things more. You know, I want to sleep in, but I actually want to have a relationship with God more. So my strongest desire is to lay in this bed, but my deepest desire is to have a robust, amazing, deep relationship with God. Right. I actually think the community is a cheat code because you're going to have to go against what feels natural. But if you can get a bunch of other people in your friend group to say, yeah, we all want to also do this, there's some compelling momentum that comes with that. When you feel like you're alone and then everyone is sleeping around and everyone's smoking and everyone's eating the nerd's rope and everyone's sleeping in and everyone, then it's like, I'm the only one doing this. I don't think the consequences are that bad. Yeah. But when you find a group of people, like a small group, honestly, to say, hey, we all don't want that nerd's rope.
Pause for a second because Jordan just put promiscuity and eating nerd's ropes in the same sentence.
Can I tell you though, it felt like that's spiritually significant. No,
it's like what Paul does in the first chapter of Romans when he talks about like wickedness and debauchery and disobeying your parents. All in the same sentence.
Yeah, right.
Right.
It's like, whoa.
Have you done any of these things? Just check the box. Like, I need to explain this.
Yeah.
It was just disobeying, I promise.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I do think community is like just a total cheat code for that because then you start to feel like, yeah, we're all choosing the better thing and you're all helping each other reframe it. Like, come on, man, this is so much better in light of eternity.
And sometimes you need someone else to talk sense to you, someone that is not experiencing the same emotional energy or enticement or temptation that you're experiencing. Like you're seeing, it's right there in front of you. Someone else is looking at it and be like, but why do you, like, seriously,
it's
what
just
you,
a bowl of soup.
It's like, what do you see in her? That kind of like, sometimes we need that.
You're like logging on to video games again. Come on, dog. I know you have a D in algebra. Like, come on, bro, get with it. Okay. Here's mine. We can do it really fast. Mine is actually very simple and maybe a little boring, but it's worked for me. And mine would be, don't sleep on the basics. I think that life and following Jesus is actually pretty simple. We make it complex. And I think some of the complexities are fun. And I love deep Bible studies and all these things. But when I look at the things that I feel like got me to be the person that I'm, you know, happy with and the things that I'm most proud of, I do think it's some of the simplest things. And I think if I could go back, I would just triple down on some of the basics. What do I mean by the basics? I really do mean actually reading your Bible. Like, as crazy as that is, I actually think graduating high school, I knew more sermon quotes than I had read the Bible. Mm. I knew more little like clever things to say and maybe even like out debate an atheist than I actually knew the Word of God. And I'm telling you now, for me, when I started to read the Bible slowly, highlight things, let myself take notes, I love reading the Bible in 1 year and I'm doing it now, but I think actually the best thing for me at 16, 17, 18 would just be like slow cook through Romans and Galatians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and chill in the New Testament. And I don't need to be a Hebrew scholar. Like for me, when I started to do that stuff, as dumb as this, I was like, I love this book. Yeah. I love this God. And then I started to talk about it more. Like I started to talk about Jesus more with my friends because like when you spend time, we say this in Chi Alpha, when you spend time with Jesus on purpose, you talk about him on accident. And like, it just started to flow from me. And it's like, this book is so good. It's great. And I don't need to know everything about Leviticus and I don't need to restart my Bible plan every January and then get to Leviticus and quit. Like Bible reading is that good. Okay. I have two more disciplines that I think are just like, they're huge. Prayer, not in my head. Prayer in my head kind of counts, but I also daydream. And then I also think about stuff and it's like 30 seconds of prayer. And then it's like 7 minutes of like thinking about the video game I'm playing. So for me, as crazy as this is, putting on worship music, closing my door, locking the door, writing down the bullet points of things I want to pray for, and then praying out loud. I did that for like 2 weeks straight. I remember in Bible college and I was like, I feel amazing. Jesus and I are like this, like praying out loud actually just was, it's crazy. Like I talked to the guy and then he talks back. And like, as dumb as that is, I don't know how many of my students know how to pray out loud. Like we're kind of always praying and that's good. Okay. Third one that I have. And it helps now because right now at the time of recording, a lot of us I think are doing this. Dude, fasting is like a spiritual discipline that is so good for you because, ready for this? It's denying your flesh.
Yeah.
Fasting is putting down the nerd's rope again and again and again and again. Yeah. That nerd rope illustration, I'm just hitting that thing because it's that
was
good.
That was Caleb's 21 day fast. Yes, it's like yes, no nerd's rope. Yeah, it was
just exclusively, I can't eat nerd's rope. I'm praying all the time.
Everything else is great. Yeah, I think actually, I don't know how many youth pastors listen to this, but if you're a youth pastor, I want to say your kids can fast. Like quit babying them. And if you're a youth student and like, I, of course you want to be smart with things. You want to get buy-in from your parents or your youth pastor, but you can do a fast.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I had a youth pastor that didn't like give me Holy Spirit Junior, you know, or like fasting for, you know, just to like get off of Instagram. Okay. Congrats. That's not a fast. That's a good fast, and you can do that, and you should do that, and that's very thing. That's great. You should also fast food sometimes. When I was in sixth grade, I fasted 5 days, and this isn't me saying I'm so cool. It's me just saying.
Sixth grade.
Yes, my youth pastor was like, "Do it," and I did it, and guess what? I heard from God, and it was good for me. Like I'm not saying. Of course, I know some of you are underweight and blah blah blah, but I do tend to think that we baby things, and we like, oh, and we have a million exceptions, and there is something to be said for like. Take a day, don't eat lunch, go and pray instead. Or like take an evening and don't eat dinner and just listen to worship music and talk to God. I will say, I think those very basic things that you're fast forwarding and you put me on 2x speed now because you've heard this. I do think those basic things actually develop something so great in us that maybe you don't need another sermon or another leadership class. Maybe you actually just need to like, fall in love with the book of the Bible and learn everything there is to learn about that one book of the Bible, or to take a 2-day fast, or to pray out loud before school and not just like, you know, just AFK put on worship music. I don't know. I think don't neglect the basics will help you so much prepare for your future.
Yeah, it's amazing because whenever we're actually preparing people for their future, and I'm talking specifically about kids here, there's not a single thing that you said that I wouldn't tell a kid to do.
Wow.
And it's amazing how those things we lose or we try to complicate it and we go, do I still need to do that? Mm. Or should I still do that in any type of a capacity? All of those things, and if you didn't grow up with those things, like, I'm sorry, but right now, those things can absolutely change your life. And especially the earlier you adopt them into your life and make that a habit, mm-hmm. you're going to be unstoppable whenever you get older.
Yes.
Like we live in a culture now that is because of social media, internet, YouTube, whatnot, we see the end result of everyone else's like private discipline. But when we see that end result, when we see the highlight reel of that, you know, that athlete that we're, that we are following because they, you know, play the sport, or that musician, or, you know, whoever that is, we don't oftentimes realize how much work that took. Like, we're seeing the fruit of many, many hours of that athlete in the gym, mm-hmm. or the fruit of many, many hours of that musician in front of their instrument, or the lessons that they took, or the fruit of that scientist and how many, you know, hours or years in some cases it took them to do the research and to write the papers and so on and so on. I mean, I remember, like, for me growing up, basketball was everything, mm-hmm. you know, went to a small Christian school. It was the only sport we had. So if you wanted to play anything, you had to like play
You're
basketball.
Balling.
Right. But then, you know, went on, played, you know, played college basketball, small college, you know, much lower division, obviously, you know, than like Division I type stuff. But like, it was my whole life. And then even after school, like, loved it, coached it, you know, ended up being able to coach like Caleb's high school team and stuff like that. So it was like so much of my life. I always wanted results as a basketball player. Mm. That I wasn't willing to earn in the privacy of the gym. Right. So like what you're saying is huge. Like if you want, I'll put it in another preachy phrase, right?
Yes.
If you want to do what Jesus did in public, then you have to do what he did in private. Yeah. Right. Because when you look at the life of Jesus, we see the public, we see the teaching, we see the miracles, yeah. we see the crowds. So as followers of Christ, it's easy to think, I want that kind of success and that kind of fruit. Go read the Gospels again. Jesus, at the end of the day, away from the crowd. Jesus, solitude, mm-hmm. early in the morning. Jesus went up by himself to the mountain to pray. You know, even getting away from his disciples, they're like, where is he? Right. And so there's a case to be made, strong case for what you're saying, Jordan. It's like, if you're not seeing the results in your spiritual life that you want, it's probably because you're not putting in the time behind the scenes.
Yeah. Can I just say, I always felt like this was impossible for me as a student. I was like, I'm such a hard time with all of these things. I'll let you know it is possible. You can do this. We believe in you, the five of us. I think the thing that really helped me when it came to just doing the basics was kind of what we talked about a little bit ago of like having a group of guys to do it with. Like that was when I got consistent, was when like whenever I'm tired or I don't feel like doing it, or I'm falling off the, you know, the horse or whatever, they're there to help me up, or they're there to like be like, hey, let's keep going. Come on. Or I'm there to help them, you know, and mm-hmm. both things are so good. Accountability is really what that is. And it's so powerful, and it will help you do the thing that you want to do now, which the basics is. I mean, honestly, I think this is just like, this is what we all need to do. Like this is the bar, the standard is these three things, and it's really not that big. Right.
Yes,
it feels intimidating, but you can do it.
Well, and it's disingenuous to say that you love Jesus and you want to be a follower of Christ, but you don't want to read your Bible.
Yeah,
like the Bible is Jesus in written form.
Yeah, literally.
Like it just doesn't work. It doesn't work, right? So, you know, at some point you have to, you know, look at yourself and you have to say, I got to stop making excuses. And I got to make priorities and decisions in this area of my life.
And I do worry because, you know, we are in an age where a lot of people, probably honestly around my age, I'm 32 at the time of recording, are starting to deconstruct. And what I am hearing, I mean, I've heard a lot of stories, and some people deconstruct with the hope of building back up their faith. Some people kind of just deconstruct because they're annoyed at the church. What I am hearing is that
Hurt.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I thank you for saying that. Very, very true. What I'm hearing, though, is a lot of people are essentially saying that they built their house on the sand. There are a lot of them is like their basis of their faith were the hype moments. And I do think if you build your faith on that, you will eventually come to a point where you have to deconstruct it, where you're like, this is not right. I don't feel like I felt before. But I want to say that doesn't make Jesus false. It really doesn't. I understand that you had a lot of really emotional moments, but I want to challenge you. I swear, you read that word and that's a firm foundation, dog. Like you can build
on
that.
I'm the oldest guy here in the room, right? So, but I'll just like, hey, as far as people going to church and leaders in church, I've never met a person that hasn't been hurt by the church.
Yeah.
I've never met a person that hasn't had moments where they were disappointed with church or with church leadership. I've never met someone who didn't experience at some degree, myself included, the first two I mentioned, and as well as this. Like, I've never met a person who doesn't say, yeah, there's times I felt mad. Mm-hmm. Like, those are all human emotions and that we all go through, right? And those are experiences, life experiences that we all have. Thus the need for a firm foundation of the basics.
Yes.
Real, yeah. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. He's basically promising to his listeners, there will be storms in your life. There will be difficult moments. People will fail you. People will hurt you. People yes. will make you angry. Church leaders will fail you because they are people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Are you building a life that can withstand the storms that are coming? That's yeah. ultimately the paraphrasing the question Jesus is asking it in Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount.
100%. Yeah.
And I mean like, yeah, if your faith is in your youth pastor and then your youth pastor is manipulative and you yeah. realize that later, that stinks. But if your faith is in like, I've been chilling with Jesus for 10 minutes and we talk every day. It's not crazy. It's not for it, but like it's, I know that guy
yeah.
and that stinks about my youth pastor. Huh? Yeah. Oh, well, Jesus is my guy.
Yeah. And it's just so easy to sell it short just for moments of like, I just am looking for moments to experience God. But really you begin to experience God in the most true way when you're just following him through the basics. So like a lot of times it's like, man, that was spiritual high was amazing. But it's like, you can have even higher if you just choose to follow him and do the basics, like yeah. read your Bible and pray and fast.
Yes.
Like the moments I've had with God in the quiet and in the private are so much more significant.
100%.
Because it's so much more personal. It's not just this crazy emotion. We sell it short so often.
Yes. And there's something so cool about, whoa, God's talking to me and there's no band. And there's
it's
no
quiet.
Lights. Yeah.
I'm not even listening to worship music.
What
right
am
now.
I manipulating myself?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is God meeting me in my living room
yeah.
or in my crappy childhood bedroom. Like this is so cool. And it's an incredible experience.
One of my friends says this. He says, spiritual feelings are a bonus, not a necessity. And that you're talking about the necessity, Jordan, when you say you got to like stick with the basics. That's the necessity, right? Mm-hmm. We get addicted to the spiritual feelings. Like I need the band, I need the vibes, I need the music, I need the great youth event, youth camp, I need the Chi Alpha retreat. Like I need something like that.
The pizza.
Right? But that's really shallow spirituality.
Yes.
If you always have to have everything served up to you just right, the sermon is great, the speaker was a little bit funny but a little bit serious and the yeah. band hit just right and they did all my favorite songs on my Spotify playlist yeah, yeah, and yeah. so on and so on.
You're literally right? missing out.
That's really shallow. It's shallow yeah. spirituality. It's not wrong for you to have spiritual feelings in that moment,
yeah.
but it's weak and shallow that you can't live out the basics of life.
Come on now. Hey, to close, I'll say it this way. Students, we really, really want to see you win in whatever it is that God is calling you to in your future. And so all of this comes from a place of, we believe in you. That's why we started this podcast, is because we want to send you out into the world to honestly make a difference and to lead your generation. And so we just are trying our best to make an investment in you. Look, if you want to shoot us a DM or let us know what God's speaking to you, or if any of this has been valuable as you're making decisions about your future, hey, let us know. As a team, we'd love to celebrate that. And even, I just want to say, if you do that, we would take a second to even pray over you because we're just so committed to who God is calling you to be. So students, as we send you guys out, continue to move forward and lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and love for others. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye, guys.